Just where the fucking hell was she? The gray clouds were low, so she guessed she was somewhere high. Had she been dumped here with the hope that she'd never find her way home? And why, exactly, had the old woman sent her here? All valid questions, but Harper nonetheless didn't intend to wait around and find out. Planting her feet, she called to her wings. White, hot pain streaked down her back, and she spat a vicious curse. She tried calling to them again, but that only earned her more pain. Her heart began to race as fear skittered down her spine. Despite that fear, the protective power that lived in her belly didn't rush to her fingertips. There was the briefest spark inside her, but nothing more. Something was interfering with her abilities, possibly the same something that seemed to be blocking her attempts to contact Knox. Well, it looked like she'd just have to get out of there the old-fashioned way. Her back protested at the idea of walking, but it didn't take a genius to work out that Nora didn't have good things in mind for Harper. She couldn't afford to hang around. There was no dirt path, so it was highly likely that she'd get lost in the mist. Knowing her luck, she might even fall into a bog or something, but she'd be damned if she'd stay put. Harper quickly chose a random direction and started to walk, every step brisk, and with a gasp, she stumbled back and put a hand on the cold, rough boulder to steady herself as vines suddenly sprouted from the earth and began to slither menacingly along the ground. She watched as they twisted around each of the boulders, forming one big foliage fence. Okay, so she was trapped. Good to know. Her demon hissed loudly, wanting out so it could attack the vines. Harper fought the entity. It wasn't the first time she'd been a prisoner, but it was the first time that she'd had someone else's safety outside her own to consider. If she hadn't been pregnant, she would have taken her chances with the enchanted vines, but she wasn't sure if they'd retaliate or something weird like that. She froze as static energy suddenly filled the air. Her hair seemed to lift, and a low, droning sound split through the unnatural quiet. Harper turned toward the sound, and that was when a familiar swirl of red and black smoke appeared beyond the boulders. Well, shit. Mere moments later, Nora stepped out of it, dressed in a black robe, her hands joined as if in prayer. Worse, the old bitch was followed by a group of hooded figures. What the fuck? Given that Nora had opened a portal, there was one thing Harper knew for sure. You're an encanter, she clipped. Nora bowed her head with a smile, like she'd been delivered a compliment. That is correct. I suppose you mistakenly assumed I was the same breed as my grandson. No. But if you had known I was an encantor, would you have suspected me as you suspected Thatcher of being involved in the attacks on you? Yes, said Harper truthfully. I don't trust many people. Sensible. Yeah, but it hadn't fucking helped her much in this case. Harper flicked a look at the hooded figures and asked, Fellow encanters? Most, but not all, one of them said, sidling up to Nora and lowering the hood. Linda. She spared Harper a dispassionate glance before looking at Nora. When do I join her in the circle? Nora held up a hand. Not yet. Linda glanced around. Where's Macaulay? I didn't see him anywhere, so I left without him. Linda's mouth tightened. Did you even look? Forget about the boy. You can deal with him another time. Harper glared at Nora as she said with a distaste her demon shared, I'm guessing you're one of the horsemen. It would explain how she'd known so much about them.
In the flesh, said Nora proudly.
Yeah, flesh that her raging demon would love to peel off like an onion. Harper could sort of see the attraction in that idea.
Where are we? Someplace special, Nora replied, with a dreamy smile that was kind of creepy.
She spread out her arms and inhaled deeply.
You feel it, don't you? This place is an energy vortex.
An energy vortex. Okay, so Harper had heard of those. Put simply, they were swirling centers of energy that were said to be uplifting, spiritual, and able to heighten people's own inner positive or negative energy. That would have given her hope, since she could work with energy, could potentially use it to boost her abilities. But this particular vortex, there was something very wrong about it. The energy wasn't simply negative. It was dark, ominous, almost malevolent. Her demon didn't discriminate when it came to power. Good, bad, the entity didn't care. Power was power, as far as it was concerned. But even the demon was wary of the vortex, and that said a lot.
I was here when I had my vision, Nora told her.
Harper frowned.
You have knowings, not visions. Ah, but this place can strengthen a person's abilities. It can also weaken their abilities. It all depends.
On what?
On what the vortex is asked to do.
And you've asked it to keep me weak and contained, Harper accused. Nox's mind breezed over hers. The touch was faint, but there.
I hear you, baby. Where are you?
Relief flooded Harper in a heavy rush, despite that the telepathic voice was weak. Working to keep her face blank, she responded,
I don't know exactly, but I'm stood on some kind of energy vortex, thanks to fucking Nora. It's stopping me from using my abilities.
And Harper needed to keep Nora talking until he got here.
You hired the hunters. Why?
Because I had a vision of you giving birth, of Linda and I being close by, and of you releasing beautiful wings and escaping us. I needed those wings taken from you. Sadly, that didn't work. I tried hexing you to weaken your abilities. That didn't work either. But using the vortex to contain and weaken you is probably best in any case.
What would be best would be for Nora and her pals to be sliced and diced by a real-life Hannibal Lecter.
Why try to kidnap Heidi? Ah, I didn't. I'm not sure who did. Perhaps it was the last of the horsemen.
Harper frowned. If Nora wasn't sure whether or not her only remaining partner in crime was responsible, then that would suggest that...
You're not working together anymore, are you? Let's just say I didn't agree with their belief that we should lie low for a while.
Her face hardened.
I'm old. I've waited long enough for the primes to fall. I was once a prime, you know. Now I answer to my grandson because a prime will be challenged by others if it isn't fit to hold its position. Because I aged, I was deemed unfit.
The latter word dripped with venom.
And now I'm nothing more than a demon within a lair. If there were no primes, if there were equal rights for all demons, I wouldn't be thought of as an antique, she added bitterly.
Harper shook her head.
Our kind craves power too much to ever simply exist alongside each other and be content as equals. The hierarchies within each lair exist for that reason, and they work.
But Nora wasn't listening. She was gazing around her, wearing a serene expression, like she was in a freaking meadow or something. Nora clasped her hands.
This truly is a fascinating place. Time is different here.
Not liking the sound of that, Harper warily asked, Different how?
An hour in the vortex is a minute in places beyond it. Think of what that means. You've been here for, say, an hour. To anyone away from this place, you've only been here a minute.
As the implications of that sank in, Harper's stomach dropped and panic fluttered through her. Even if Knox was able to get to her at a pace that was supremely fast to him, enough time would have passed here for Nora to end Harper's life first.
In other words, don't be counting on a rescue, Harper. Call out to Knox all you like. He won't hear you. Not while you're trapped in the vortex.
Huh. Well, that wasn't actually correct, but Nora didn't need to know that. He'll find a way to get to me.
Oh, I doubt that.
You shouldn't. People have hurt and taken me before. He's always come for me. And both Harper and her demon trusted that he'd come for her again.
He won't come, Harper. As I said, time is different here. Let's say that Larkin goes into the restrooms and finds you gone. She'll sense the leftover magical energy, but she won't understand it was from a portal. Of course, she'll run to Knox. He'll feel the magic too, but it's highly unlikely that he'll sense there was a portal. Still, he's smart enough to know he'll need an incantor to read the magic.
He'd be aware that there was a portal, for the simple reason that Harper had told him. That was yet another thing that Nora didn't need to know.
I'm sure he'll find one, and I'm sure they will be willing to reopen the portal for him. However, that process takes up to 15 minutes to complete. Now add all that time together. And for Knox, that will be, at the very least, 20 minutes before he even steps through the portal. That's 20 hours to us, sweetheart. By then, you'll be dead, and we'll all be gone.
Okay, that was bad. Really bad. Damn it, she had to get the fuck out of there. Nora's expression turned sober as she spoke to her companions.
Get into position.
While Linda stayed still, each of the others copied Nora in moving to stand near a boulder so that they surrounded Harper. Another shot of adrenaline pumped through Harper, and she flexed her fingers. I suppose you intend to kill me now, before Knox has the chance to get here. And, heartbreakingly, there wasn't a single thing that she could do to stop it.
Not just yet,
said Nora, as she and the others sat cross-legged.
I want you dead, but I want the baby first. If we can't destroy Knox, we can at least control him. What better way than through his child?
Harper's heart slammed against her ribs, and her knees almost buckled. She put a protective hand to her stomach.
You can't have the baby.
Oh, but I can. You have to understand, Harper, that there's no real way for demons to exist as equals while someone so powerful lives. Knox could take complete control at any time. Trying to kill him hasn't worked. Holding the baby's safety over his head, though, yes. That would keep him under my thumb.
Nora raised her hands and began to chant under her breath. The others joined in, and the stale air suddenly turned heavy and oppressive. The clouds thickened and darkened, making the sky look almost bruised.
What are you doing?
It was Linda who spoke. inducing labor, of course. Harper shook her head, stomach plummeting. The baby isn't ready yet. They'll kill it.
No, said Nora. I have a team of people on standby who can give it whatever care it needs to ensure it survives.
And I'll be there to care for the baby, declared Linda, chin up.
Nora's smile faltered.
Yes, and you'll be there.
She went back to chanting, and the wind picked up, whipping the gnarled trees and making dirt swirl in the air.
No, you don't get to take my...
She cut off as what looked like black drops of rain sprung from Nora's fingertips and, quick as lightning, hit Harper right in the chest. She tried to wipe them off, but they sank into her skin. She felt the magic inside her then, felt it slither around her bones, snake around her organs, and settle over her womb like an oily blanket.
What the fuck did you just do?
Pain blasted through her abdomen, and her womb contracted so hard that she dropped to her knees. It hurt like holy hell. She'd never felt pain like it. Not when Nox's power poured into her mind. Not when the hunters sawed at her wings. Not even when her body spent hours fighting the hex. The wind rushed at her again, stealing her breath and knocking her right on her ass. Vines sprouted out of the earth and shackled her wrists, pinning her hands. She managed to fight their hold just enough to stay sitting upright, but she couldn't free herself. She tried infusing hellfire into the grass, hoping the vines might catch fire, but only smoke left her palms.
Motherfucking vortex!
She could feel its sinister, repelling energy slithering between her fingers. Another spasm racked her womb, making her spine arch like a bow. All the breathing exercises she'd read about went completely out of her head. She gritted her teeth against the pain, clenching her trapped hands and unintentionally scraping the soil. Her shoulders slouched as the pain finally faded. Her heart thudded in her tightening chest. Her breaths burst in and out of her.
I'll kill you all. I swear to God I will.
No, you won't, said Nora calmly. You won't even get the chance. Once the child is born, that magic you absorbed will attack every cell in your body. You'll be dead within moments.
A ghostly finger of fear trailed over Harper's nape, but she didn't let that fear show. Her demon leaped to the surface and said,
You will die tonight. Do not doubt it.
Nora's eyes flickered.
Linda, she said, her voice a whip. Get in the circle.
The vines bordering the boulders parted to let Linda pass, and then the bitch crouched in front of her.
Don't touch me, Harper spat.
You're safe from me until that baby is out.
It wasn't a reassurance. It was a statement of fact that lacked any compassion. She put her hands on Harper's rounded stomach.
The baby's in position. Head down.
Harper felt a blazing heat briefly flare from her stomach.
It was the oddest fucking thing, and had an almost vengeful feel to it.
Linda yanked her hands back as if burned.
Damn vortex,
she grumbled. But that hadn't been the vortex, nor had it been Harper or her demon. She snarled at Linda.
You'll never take my baby from me. Never!
Linda's mouth curled into a cruel smile.
Of course I will, and there's not a damn thing you can do to stop me.
Nox took another swig of his gin and tonic, watching for signs of Harper approaching. She'd been gone for a good 5 minutes now, and he was guessing that she'd been waylaid by nosy demons who were both congratulating and quizzing her at the same time. He'd take her home as soon as she returned to him, he decided. They'd been there for a courteous amount of time and wouldn't look rude leaving at this point.
Shit, muttered Levi, going on high alert.
Knox put down his glass, tension mounting inside him.
What?
But then he saw Larkin and Devon fast approaching. Without Harper. Anxiety flared through him. He stood, meeting Larkin's anxious stare.
Where is she?
Larkin swallowed. I don't know.
She spoke in a rush.
She went into the restrooms while Devon and I dealt with Carla, and then she just disappeared.
The words rocked him, slamming into him so hard his breath caught in his throat. On the outside, he didn't move a muscle. On the inside, he fumbled, scrambling to absorb the words. His demon let out a guttural roar. Harper had been right there with him mere minutes ago. How the fuck could she be gone?
Harper! Harper!
He reached out to stroke her mind, but he barely managed to touch it, as if there was something trying to get between her mind and his.
Harper, baby, tell me you're okay.
She was alive, he knew that much, and he clung to it like it was a lifeline, because it was a lifeline. He needed her, wouldn't be able to exist without her. He wanted to move, to act, to do something, but he felt rooted to the spot.
Harper's gone?
Jolene bit out. The ground and walls began to tremor, and that snapped Knox out of his zone. He advanced on Larkin.
How can she just disappear?
His voice was a low rumble that vibrated with rage. But she didn't cower.
The only person who was in the restrooms when I walked in looking for her was him, said the harpy. He claims to know who took her.
It was only then that Knox noticed Macaulay at her side. A dark suspicion whispered in his mind. Could the child have harmed her? Dario had warned them that he may need to be killed. Knox crouched in front of the boy.
You know who has Harper?
Macaulay nodded, eyes blank.
An old woman.
Not an answer Knox would have expected to hear.
An old woman.
Harper called her Nora.
Knox didn't show his surprise, but Jolene did by letting out a string of foul curses that made him think of Harper. And thinking of his mate, missing, and possibly hurt, made his stomach churn.
Nora passed us to go into the restrooms, said Devon, eyes damp. She was gone too.
Which meant that either the boy was telling the truth, or that Nora had been taken too. Leaning towards the first explanation, Knox asked,
Where did she take Harper, Macaulay?
There was smoke, said the boy. It was red and black, and it swirled.
A portal, said Levi.
Nora took Harper through a portal?
Asked Rainey, voice shaky.
Then it vanished.
Macaulay added. Knox stormed out of the VIP area, crossing to the restrooms with purposeful strides. He shoved the door open, hoping he'd find Harper standing there smiling, hoping it was all one big, sick joke that he'd spank her ass for later. But there was no Harper. There was, however, the energy residue from a portal. It was like static electricity in the air. He whispered his fingers over the lingering energy.
I can feel it,
he said through gritted teeth, knowing the others had followed him inside.
The portal was right here. There's no telling where it led,
growled Tanner, voice hard as stone, muscles stiff.
They could be anywhere.
Knox! Knox, please say you can hear me!
His eyes closed at the sound of Harper's voice, even though their telepathic link seemed weak and almost distant.
I hear you, baby. Where are you?
I don't know exactly, but I'm stood on some kind of energy vortex, thanks to fucking Nora. It's stopping me from using my abilities.
Harper says she stood on an energy vortex,
said Knox, curling his hands into fists. The back of his throat hurt, and it was difficult to swallow.
It's preventing her from using her abilities.
Leaving her defenseless, just as she'd been once before, not so long ago.
You can hear her? Brows drawn together. I keep calling out to her, but she's not answering me.
The sentinels and she-demons nodded, claiming the same.
Maybe it's because they're anchored or something,
Rainey suggested, hands jammed under her armpits.
I warned Harper to run,
said Macaulay, tone flat.
She didn't run.
Knox frowned.
To run from Nora?
He shook his head.
Linda,
he said simply, none of the urgency or fear in his voice that Knox was feeling. Bastard though he was, Knox itched to shake the boy and drag everything he knew out of him. Maybe he sensed that, because Macaulay took a step forward and said,
Read my mind.
Because Knox's touch was invited, it didn't cause Macaulay any pain when Knox thrust his mind into his. Knox delved into his memories, saw the boy watching the parade, saw Linda slap a hand over his mouth and drag him into an alley, heard her speak over the phone that then began to ring.
What?
Linda snapped at her collar.
Not yet. I'll meet you once I've killed the brat. Of course this is important to me. I want that baby even more than you do. But this kid will pay first. It's not like you need me to grab Harper for you or induce labor. You might be old, but there's nothing weak about you.
Fine. Linda then ended the call and turned her attention to the boy in her arms.
All you had to do was love me. But no, you wouldn't do it. You left me. No one leaves me.
Knox watched as Macaulay bit her hand and then ran as she screamed, Ow! Get back here, you little bastard! Knox then sped forward through the memories, watching a fast-forward version of Macaulay fleeing from Linda, hiding in the restrooms, and finally getting to Harper.
You need to run,
he said. Heart in his throat, Knox then watched as Nora talked with Harper before forcing her into a portal. Swallowing hard, Knox withdrew his mind from the boys.
Thank you for trying to help, Harper, Macaulay. You can tell your demon that she and I will keep you safe from Linda.
Standing, Knox gave the others a rundown of what happened. Devon put a hand to her mouth.
Oh, God, no! The baby's not ready to be born yet!
Jolene rubbed the Hellcat's back, her eyes hard.
It would seem that they don't care about that.
There was a wealth of lethal intent in her tone.
Linda's a midwife, said Keenan. Nora probably recruited her to help with the birth.
The door burst open, and Thatcher barged in with his sentinel bodyguard behind him. His gaze ran over everyone.
My sentinel saw you all rush inside like you were being chased by a pack of wild hellhounds. What has happened?
Knox would have sent him out, only he wanted to see Thatcher's reaction to the news.
Someone kidnapped Harper. They took her through a portal.
Shock flashed across Thatcher's face, and it seemed genuine.
You sure? Does it look like I'm fucking kidding?
Thatcher weaved his way through the others and held up his hand, no doubt reading the magic in the air.
You are right. I could reopen the portal for you. Do you trust me? No.
Thatcher let out a short sigh.
Will you allow me to reopen it for you?
Knox narrowed his eyes.
Why would you? No one likes living under a cloud of suspicion. Maybe if I help you, you'll no longer suspect me of meaning your mate any harm.
Knox, said Harper, voice still faint. I'm scared.
Her fear pierced his soul and almost knocked him back a step.
It's going to be fine, baby. I'm right here with you. I'm going to find some way to get to you, I swear. Just hold on for me, okay? Hold on.
Knox nodded at Thatcher.
How long will it take? Ordinarily, the process would take 15 minutes. I'm a strong incantor. I should be able to do it in 10.
It was too long, Knox thought. But so far, it was the fastest way to get to her. He stepped aside, giving the other prime room.
I need it done fast.
With his sentinel now at his side, Thatcher immediately got to work.
Do you think Dario's working with Nora? Jolene asked Knox.
My gut says no, but that doesn't mean he can't know something.
Knox turned to Tanner.
Bring him here, but don't let him know there's a problem. I don't want his sentinel interfering.
The hellhound nodded and then disappeared from the restrooms. Muscles tight, Knox remained in position. He wanted to pace and curse and punch a hole through the stall door. Instead, he held himself completely still, even though he felt twitchy, restless, and dangerously on edge. His chest was so tight, he was surprised he could breathe without wheezing. As the she-demons began to talk, expressing their worries for Harper, Knox blocked out their conversation. He couldn't allow himself to think of what could be happening to Harper. If he did, he'd lose his ability to focus. But despite his best efforts, images of what Nora could be doing to her kept flickering through his mind, slicing at his frayed control. There wasn't just fury flooding his veins. There was guilt. He should have protected her better. He should never have let her leave his side for a single moment. In being careful not to make her feel suffocated, he'd put her and their child in danger, and he knew he'd never forgive himself for it. His demon's cold rage echoed through him. Oddly, the demon wasn't ranting and raving. It wasn't demanding vengeance or pushing for control. If the entity was capable of feeling guilt, Knox would have wondered if it blamed itself the same way that Knox blamed himself. He didn't know why the entity was so unnaturally quiet and still. It wasn't inclined to communicate with him right then. There had only been one other time that the demon had been so silent, despite its rage. The very day it had taken it upon itself to destroy the cult in which Knox had been raised as a child. Usually the demon didn't plan or strategize. It acted on emotion alone, and it didn't care to maintain its composure. The fact that it seemed to be silently strategizing now didn't relieve Knox. Harper had told him that it spooked her when Knox was so deceptively and unnaturally calm. Just the same, his demon's unnatural calm worried him.
Knox, said Larkin, voice sheepish. I'm so sorry. I should have come in here with her. This is all my fucking fault.
Chloe shook her head.
No, Harpy, it's not. The fault lies with nutty Nora and whoever might be helping her. Harper would tell you the same thing if she could.
Jolene nodded.
Nobody blames you, Larkin. You were told to protect Harper, and that was exactly what you did by keeping Carla away from her. You couldn't have known that Nora would mean her any harm.
especially since the woman defended Harper against Carla in the coffee house not so long ago. Larkin looked at Knox, eyes still clouded with guilt.
I understand if you want to execute me for failing Harper, but please, allow me to help you find and save her first.
I have no intention of executing you, Larkin. You're not at fault.
That was the most reassurance that Knox could offer her while rage and terror were pumping through him. He rolled his neck and shoulders, trying to ease the tension in his muscles, but it didn't work. Nothing short of having Harper in front of him would calm him. He'd worried enough about how smoothly the birth would go, though he'd hid those concerns from her. He'd sworn to her that he'd be with her the entire time. The thought that she'd be facing it alone, even if only for the short time it would take for him to get to her, flayed him. His gaze snapped to the door as it swung open and Tanner entered with Dario. The Prime looked around, seeming both curious and confused.
Tanner said you needed my help, but he didn't say what was wrong.
Knox pinned him with an unblinking stare.
Do you know what she's done? Are you part of this?
Dario blinked.
What are you...
Knox lunged and fisted his shirt.
Do not fuck with me right now. I swear to you, I do not know what you mean.
Dario looked to his sentinel for help, but the male was being held back by Tanner and Keenan.
Nora took Harper,
Knox rumbled. Dario's eyes snapped back to him and he stilled, brows drawing together.
No. No, she wouldn't do that. Oh, but she did. I have an eyewitness that says she took her through a portal.
Knox released him with a shove.
Harper herself has telepathically informed me that Nora is with her and wants the baby. She's inducing labor as we speak.
Righting his shirt, Dario frantically shook his head.
No, my grandmother would never do something like that. She has no reason to do it. She could not possibly gain anything from it.
Levi spoke.
There are plenty of reasons why someone would want Knox's child, and you know it.
She's old. Just because somebody's old doesn't mean they're frail or harmless, said Jolene.
She also has help. She's not working alone.
Dario's mouth fell open.
Don't tell me you think she's one of the horsemen,
he scoffed.
It's possible, said Levi. She knew plenty about them.
Maybe this was why.
Dario shot him an impatient look.
If she was one of them, why would she ever make you aware of them?
For the same reasons that serial killers tip off the police, said Levi. For attention. To create fear. If people aren't aware that something or someone exists, it doesn't have any power over them.
Face it, Knox snapped. Your grandmother kidnapped Harper. She wants my child. Make me believe you're not a part of this plot. And tell me where Nora would take her.
Scrubbing a hand down his face, Dario said,
I just can't believe that she would believe it, because she has. Convince me you had no part in this, or I swear I'll end you right now.
Dario stood tall, looking ready to challenge Knox. Wisely, he didn't.
I have played no part in whatever has happened to your mate.
Knox, where are you? I don't want to do this alone.
He almost flinched. The pain in those words gutted him.
How much longer is this going to fucking take? The process is slow going, I know,
said Thatcher.
But I'm going as fast as I can.
Knox softly brushed his mind against hers.
You're not alone, he soothed. I'm right here, and I'll be
physically with you very soon.
Is there a limit to how many people can step through the portal? Asked Levi. When Thatcher shook his head, Levi turned to Knox and said,
I'm going with you.
All four of us are going, said Tanner, referring to each of the sentinels. Knox looked at Jolene.
I need you to stay here.
You need me to guard the portal and ensure that Thatcher doesn't attempt to trap you there, said Jolene, in understanding.
Yes, because Knox couldn't rely on his ability to pyroport if the place where Harper was being held would weaken him.
I'll kill him on the spot if he does, Jolene vowed. And I'll help, said Chloe.
The portal will remain open,
Thatcher assured Knox.
No one else will get in or out of it, and you need not worry that I will try to trap you.
I hope that's the case, Thatcher, said Jolene, because I'd rather not kill you.
Biting her lip, Rainey came forward.
Do you think the baby's coming tonight?
Knox nodded.
I'll need to arrange for Rogers to be waiting at the mansion, ready for Harper. There's nowhere else she'll be completely safe while she gives birth.
I'll arrange all that, Jolene told him, pulling out her cell phone. Everything will be ready. Kieran can teleport the doctor and whatever he needs to your home. You just concentrate on getting to Harper.
Knox might have protested, but he sensed that Jolene needed to be proactive, needed to feel that she was doing something. She might look calm, but she'd undoubtedly be far from it. He reached out to Harper.
We're almost done reopening the portal, baby. Just hold on for me.
Chapter 20. The agonizing contraction passed, and Harper almost slumped to the ground. Her knees, back, and shoulders felt stiff from being in the same position for so long. But she wouldn't give in to the urge to lie down. No, she wouldn't make herself even more vulnerable than she already was. Her movements clinical. Linda used a cloth to dab the sweat from Harper's forehead. She was a panting, moaning, sweaty mess, and she knew that her face was probably haggard and pasty. Her eyes watered with both the pain and the harsh wind that kept slamming into her face, stealing her breath. At least the haunting sound of it helped her block out the hideous, droned chanting that grated on every nerve she possessed. Tied down while surrounded by chanting, hooded people, she might have felt more like she was having an exorcism than that she was in labor if it weren't for the excruciating spasms that continuously racked her womb. She wasn't sure how long she'd been at this. The minutes had soon become hours, and the hours felt like days as cramp after cramp assailed her. As time went on, the intervals between them became shorter and shorter, and the pain had become more intense. She kept reaching out to Knox, but she only heard from him occasionally. She knew the long gaps in those conversations was due to the difference in how much time passed for each of them. For Knox, he was talking with her a few times per minute. For Harper, it was a few times per hour, and his responses were always delayed reaching her. Of course, he didn't know any of that. She'd kept it to herself because she knew that the truth that she'd been in agony for hours would torture him, just as she knew from the other times that she'd been taken from him, exactly how hard his demon would be riding him. God, she was really sick of being kidnapped. The first time, it had been Knox that the culprits wanted to capture. She'd been nothing but bait. The second time, she had in fact been the target. This time, the baby was who the kidnappers wanted. If they thought they'd get their hands on her child, they were out of their ever-loving minds.
Here, said Linda, holding a bottle of water to Harper's mouth. Throat dry and lungs burning with every breath, Harper gulped down the water, not worried that it could be drugged. They wouldn't give her anything that would kill her. The dark magic would do that for them once the baby was born. Well, Linda probably would be tempted to kill her beforehand, considering she now sported one whopper of a bruise on her jaw. Her demon absolutely loved the sight of it. Shame the vines had restrained Harper's feet to stop her from kicking the bitch again.
"I'll bet you're wishing you were in a hospital right now having an epidural," said Linda with a smirk. "Sorry, no pain relief for you."
Harper narrowed her eyes.
"I hope I shit on you."
She'd heard women sometimes did it during labor, and she'd hoped it wouldn't happen to her. Now, however, it would be a fucking treat. Linda's lips pinched together.
"It won't be anything I haven't seen before."
"I wouldn't be so sure of that. I haven't shit for about 2 days. I've got lots stored up there."
Her demon might have chuckled at that if it wasn't so wound up. A crippling pain once again rippled through her womb, sending her back arching. She tasted blood and distantly wondered if she'd bitten her tongue. It didn't matter. It was the baby that mattered, and she figured that it had to be even harder for the baby, since it was pretty much stuck in what couldn't be a comfortable position.
"How dilated is she?"
asked Nora, voice a little hoarse due to chanting non-stop for God knew how long. Ignoring Harper's curses, Linda checked and replied,
4 centimeters.
"What?"
clipped one of the figures. Harper had named him Whiner because he moaned constantly about her slow progress.
"This has gone on too long."
Like the others, his face was pale and his expression was pinched. They were all tired and weakening.
"Ha. Labor can be slow, especially when it's a woman's first pregnancy," Linda explained. "I've told you time and time again that it may help if we let Harper change positions, but you're set on keeping her still."
Whiner humphed and then spoke to Nora.
"We need to find a way to speed it up. You might be sure that Knox can't get to her in time to help her, but I'm not."
That was the first bit of wisdom he'd shown.
"If we speed it up, we risk hurting the child," said Nora.
That didn't seem to bother any of them, Harper noted. Fucking bastards.
"And if we don't," began Whiner, "we risk finding ourselves in the hands of Knox Thorne. No, thank you."
Another incantor, who Harper called Jumpy, because he seemed to be a nervous wreck and constantly scanned the landscape as if expecting Knox to jump out at him, said,
"He's right, Nora. We can't take any more chances than we already have."
After a long pause, Nora said,
"Then take a brief break and recharge."
Hoping to delay them from resuming their horrible chanting, Harper spoke to her.
"I don't understand. If you're one of the horsemen, why did you even tell us about them?"
Nora twisted the cap off a water bottle and took a long drink.
"Because people need to know about us, and the primes need to fear what's coming."
"You described Rowan. You basically handed him..."
Realization smacked Harper right in the face.
"You wanted him dead, didn't you?"
Nora merely shrugged.
"He had to go. He became a liability. He'd lost control of Crow and was too blinded by his hatred of you to be efficient. He knew about my vision. Knew a baby would come. But he wanted you dead too badly to see the bigger picture. I couldn't risk him killing you."
She took another long swig of water and then recapped it.
"Everyone ready?"
Harper went to speak again,
but another contraction hit. When it faded, she was shaking feverishly, and too late to engage Nora in more conversation. The old bitch resumed that horrible chanting, and the others quickly joined in. The chanting was louder now, and the words came faster. There was a frantic edge to them that hadn't been there before. The wind howled as it picked up in intensity, whipping up and tangling Harper's hair. The trees creaked under its brutal force, and she hoped one would snap and smack one of the encanters right over the fucking head. She flinched at the sharp crack of thunder, and had the satisfaction of seeing Linda almost jump out of her skin. That satisfaction left her when yet another contraction made her almost double over, this one more painful than any that had come before it. When it stopped, she panted.
"Tell me about Sam."
Linda reared back as if she'd been slapped.
"I'll bet it hurt when you lost him," Harper said gently. "I'll bet you've never felt pain like that before or since. The worst day of your life, right?"
"By far.
And yet, you want to take my baby from me? You, of all people, should know what an injustice it is to lose your own child."
Guilt flashed in Linda's eyes for a brief moment.
"They won't let you live to keep it anyway. I'll only be taking it because there's no one else."
"There's Knox," Harper pointed out. Another contraction came along and stole what she was about to say. As she moaned and panted, lightning repeatedly flashed within the clouds. It was an isolated electrical storm that seemed too close for Harper's liking.
"Knox, where are you? I don't want to do this alone."
She hadn't envisioned it happening this way. Not once. Her demon paused in its raving, sending Harper an impression of them being one, telling her that she wasn't alone. It was the first time the entity had ever offered her any support of any kind. But then, they had a common goal. They had to protect the baby. They just weren't sure how they'd do it. The terrible facts were that she was outnumbered, restrained, in no physical state to fight, and she couldn't access her abilities. Moreover, she'd been infected with some kind of dark magic that would kill her pretty much instantly after she'd given birth. In sum, she was fucked. But that didn't mean she'd give up hope. That wasn't who she was.
"We're almost done reopening the portal, baby. Just hold on for me."
Hope flared. She closed her eyes, imagining him standing right there, being calm and supportive to keep her own fears at bay.
"Hurry, Knox!"
She must have said that aloud, because Linda snorted.
"No one's coming for you. Even if they did, they'd be too late. Just like Nora said."
"Nora's batshit,"
Linda inclined her head.
"Possibly. Yet you're working for her. Working with her. She needs me."
Harper couldn't imagine Nora needing Linda. What she needed was a midwife. One who would risk going against Harper and Knox, one that was expendable and could be manipulated into helping. But Harper didn't get why she'd been so easy to manipulate.
"Why help Nora?"
"You shouldn't have taken Macaulay from me, Harper. And you definitely shouldn't have killed Gina. She was my best friend." All right. That was a shocker.
"She was also a demon for hire, who tried to kill me, and led Knox into a trap."
"I know.
I'm not really doing this because of them anyway. I'm doing it because Nora made me a very good deal. If I help her, I get to keep your baby."
Linda smiled, but it was a creepy smile. Nora will hold it over Knox's head, but she can't take care of it herself. That's where I come in. Harper's demon snarled. What about Wyatt? Linda snickered. Oh, don't feel bad for Wyatt. He's had plenty of affairs over the years. Talia, Harper guessed, remembering what Macaulay had said about Linda hating the she-demon. Taken aback, Linda blinked. Yes, she was one of them. How did you know that? Wild guess. Harper gritted her teeth as another contraction racked her womb. When it finally eased, she asked, If you hated Talia, why would you have kept her son? Affronted, Linda glared. I would never punish a child for someone else's mistakes. If I was that sort of person, I wouldn't be willing to raise this baby, would I? I'll raise it as mine, Harper, she taunted. It'll believe I'm its true mother. And I'll raise it to hate you and Knox. I will. I'll fill its ears with stories of what horrible, pitiless people you are. It will grow into someone who despises you both. Just the very idea of that was a knife through Harper's soul. It might even one day kill Knox for us, Linda continued. It won't matter if it's as powerful as Knox or not. He'd never harm his own child, especially when it's part of you. And that right there will give it power over him. She was right, the bitch. But you can't think Nora will really give you the baby, Linda. Think! Think past how badly you want a child. To Nora, this baby will be a weapon she can wield over Knox's head. She'll keep it hidden, but close and highly protected. She won't want it to be loyal to anyone other than her. She's not going to give you the baby and then send you on your merry way. She also won't let you live to tell anyone what she's done. Linda's smile faded, but then she snorted. You won't divide and conquer us, Harper. Now, why not just concentrate on delivering my baby, hmm? My baby! No, mine. Harper hissed, wishing she could kick the bitch again. But that hiss turned into a moan as yet another contraction hit. Then there was another, and another, and another. Once again, the minutes bled into hours. She groaned. She cried out. She whimpered. She cursed a blue streak that made Linda jerk back in horror at one point. And now she was more of a sweating, shaking, moaning mess than she had been before. Her head drooped forward as another contraction eased off. God, it was so tempting to collapse on the ground and give her aching back a break. She was more exhausted than she'd ever been in her life. Her limbs and eyelids felt so damn heavy, and it was a wonder she didn't fall asleep between contractions. She felt all hollowed out, like she had nothing left in her. She wanted the pain to end, but she also didn't want the labor to end. The thought of her baby in the hands of these neurotic motherfuckers... She couldn't stand it. She'd truly thought that Knox would have got there by now, but there was still no sign of him. If her demon had been able to call the flames, it would have taken over and done so. But neither of them could do a damn thing. I'll think of something, she told it. How dilated is she? Nora asked. Linda checked. 9 centimeters.
Not good enough, Weiner snapped. We can't afford for this to go on any longer. And I don't know about any of you, but I'm tired and uncomfortable. This ground is solid.
Was this asshole for real? She'd been in pain for hours, prodded and poked by Linda, had nothing but tepid water, and was stuck in the same awkward position for way too long, her legs spread in front of multiple people as she waited for her cervix to dilate to the size of a freaking ball, while her body felt like it was splitting in two. And he was tired and uncomfortable? Her water broke not so long ago, Linda reminded him. That's progress.
We need more than progress, he clipped. We need the child in our hands.
Harper shrugged.
You can't blame the baby for not wanting to come out.
Jumpy honed in on her, a glint of fear in his eyes.
What do you mean, it doesn't want to come out? How would you know what it does or doesn't want?
It told me, she lied, delighting in the way his face paled.
Nonsense,
Weiner scoffed.
It doesn't yet have the capacity to speak in either thought or voice.
But he didn't sound so sure. He exchanged wary glances with the others.
Ignore her, Linda advised. It's just a baby.
Jumpy spoke again.
It's not just a baby. It's Knox Thorne's baby. We have no idea what he is, which means we have no idea what we're dealing with.
He looked at Harper.
It talks to you?
Not with words, but with images and impressions, Harper replied.
Jumpy swallowed.
I would like to disbelieve you, but you have shown too little fear for my liking.
Because she'd wholeheartedly believed that Knox was coming, but she was beginning to think he wouldn't get there in time. Heat seemed to build behind her eyelids, and a lump formed in her throat. But she'd never been a person who accepted defeat. Never. No self-respecting Wallace ever would. She could see only one way to fight the incantors that were holding her captive. Just one. It would be a huge risk, because she had no idea what would truly happen. But she had to take it. Harper dug her fingers into the soil, felt the vortex's menacing energy sizzling beneath her. Instead of fighting the vortex as she'd done since she arrived, she worked with it. It was definitely not the best idea to work with the malevolent, indiscriminate energy, but she was out of options. Hoping it would be strong enough to help her, she sucked it in, absorbed it, welcomed it. And maybe that was why it didn't hurt her. The dark energy mixed with the protective power in her belly, which painfully shot to her fingertips like zaps of electricity. Without a second's hesitation, she called to her wings. She felt them respond, felt them begin to rise. But they didn't. Damn!
You think the child will save itself, don't you?
Weiner asked. Ignoring him, Harper sucked in more of the vortex's energy, took it, filled her metaphorical power tank with it even as it made her feel soiled inside and caused her head to pound like a bitch. A contraction.